Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 18th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 34, reading paragraph 1 and one paragraph only. So paragraph 1 begins with, as we look back, and ends with within a few weeks. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nan K., the 12 Traditions, Sandy W., and reading the text and support today is Cindy D., John K., Elaine T. Greeting newcomers today, so stick around for that, is Wendy B., and then we'll have some announcements that Leslie M. will give and wrap up with that today. Welcome, everyone. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 13044, 13,044. That's for June 17th, 2019, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And then the meeting that we had this morning at 7 a.m., that would be for June 18th, 2019, is 13047, 13,047. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Nan K., would you press star 1 just one more time, please?
Can you hear me?
I can. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Nan K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Michigan. The 12 steps. Number 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nan K., for reading the 12 steps. I will now ask Sandy W. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much for letting me be service.
Thank you, Sandy W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And this is for the instance of the recording. Please be sure and press star 1 as your mode of muting your phone. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, More About Alcoholism, on page 34, reading the first paragraph and unpacking that one today. And I'd like to ask Cindy D. to please open us up and begin our meeting with that. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service. Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. If he is a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is scant chance of success. In the early days of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. When I first read this morning, you know, I thought, boy, yeah, that's really my story. I mean, countless times I made resolutions and then was back in the food, you know, that same day, if not the next day, or certainly within weeks. And, you know, there's been times where I was able to be on a diet for an extended period of time, lose weight, but I would always, you know, get back in the food and I'd push it all the way through the dieting to the limits and wouldn't lose probably as fast as I could because I would, you know, just play around with the food. And then I think the times where, you know, I've lost 100 pounds several times in my life. I'm not sure how many. And the times when I did that, it was because I really didn't have control over that myself. I had surgery that had complications. And that helped me to lose the weight. But the minute that I was on my own devices, I again started pushing it, played with the food, and started gaining weight back, and I'd always gain more than I lost. And it was, I know now that it's because of the allergy of the body that I was still ingesting the foods that would trigger me to want more and more and more. And I wasn't able to stop, and never, ever have I made it to a year of being able to, you know, be on a losing streak with my weight. And, you know, I'm now having come to back to OA and having been in Vision for about a year, I'm 11 months abstinent, and it's such a gift and such a miracle. And, you know, you've heard me share probably on this meeting that I went through some period of fear around losing my abstinence and around, you know, going back into the food like I have all the other times when I've got to this point. And, you know, a fellow said to me, yeah, but back then you didn't have your program and you didn't have your higher power. And, you know, once she said that to me, I was just like, yeah, that's right. And I was able to, you know, give it back to my higher power and tell him he was in charge and that, you know, I trusted him to keep me on this journey. And I've had my peace and serenity back, and I remain abstinent. And, you know, next month I will celebrate my 1 year, which I'm so grateful for. And while the weight loss has certainly been important to me, it's something I've wanted for myself my whole life because I've been overweight my entire life. What's more important to me now is the healing and the growing that I'm experiencing, that God's teaching me so much more about who the best Cindy can be, and the peace and the serenity that I have when I do say surrender or I re-surrender. And I have to do it frequently because I want to take back my will all the time. And so I'm just really grateful that I found my way here. I'm grateful for my fellow who introduced me to Vision and who remains one of my dearest friends. And I'm grateful for my sponsor and for all of you that are here to share this beautiful journey. And I'm grateful for the people that I get an opportunity to work with and carry the message that's become a purpose for my life. And so with that, I think I will pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you, Cindy D. Now it's open for other folks that want to comment on paragraph 1, page 34. If you'd give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take that down.
Jackie H.
John K.
Jackie H. And I heard somebody just before John K.
Penny L. C.
Maybe it was Penny L. C. Okay, I'll put you in there. And then who else after John?
Polly B.
Polly B.
Rachel P.
Rachel P.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Let's take it. This is it. Okay, Nancy. So I have Jackie H., Penny L. C., John K., Polly B., Rachel P., and Nancy L. Good morning again and again and again, Jackie. Bruce, I'm going to catch you in the next round.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is, yes, good morning, Mel. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everybody, on this beautiful day. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, and I am, the word is delighted right now. I am just so delighted to be here this morning. I'm so delighted to be free. I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I could be free from the obsession that I've lived with for, well, I'm 71 now, and I started my stuff at 12, so that many years just obsessing about food. Dieting, and I did. I tried everything. I remember as a young girl going to bed at night and thinking, I had no idea that I really could have died, but I'd go to bed at night and make a strong resolution. I'd write myself notes. This is how sick I was. Don't throw up today, as if that would help, right? But I would write myself a note to remind myself that I wasn't going to binge and purge that day. And going to bed thinking that I might die. And the next day, guess what? I would binge and I would purge. And I spent many years doing that daily, daily. And I could not quit. I finally stopped that to a point, but my compulsive overeating, my disease, my spiritual malady took on all kinds of different colors over the years. bookcases full of dieting books. I tried, it would be on, always on a diet. I was always on a diet, always obsessing about what I was going to eat or what I wasn't going to eat, and exercising bulimically, and just, you know, I was just insane, and I was just miserable. And then there were times that I could go a few days. And then after a while, there was a time that I actually was abstinent from my alcoholic foods that I didn't know were alcoholic foods. I just knew they'd make me fat. So I quit eating those, and I maintained, I was never really overweight, but I had such body dysmorphia, and any amount of weight, 10 pounds would terrify the hell out of me. And so I was crazy. And there was a time, like I said, that I put down my alcoholic foods that I didn't know that's what they were called. And I was abstinent, and I really was, for about 4 years. But you know what? In that four-year time, I was so spiritually sick and so spiritually insane, and I was restricting. I didn't have any recovery, but I thought, oh, this is over. I finally have some freedom, but I didn't. And a life-changing thing happened in my life and threw me right back into the food. And that's when I came into Vision for You. I had no idea, thank you, I'll wrap up, that I would have the freedom that I have today by this beautiful process in the Big Book of doing the steps. And I absolutely love them. I had a spiritual awakening. I work with other people. I am sane today when I am spiritually fit, and I am delighted. And if anything I said here could help a newcomer, I'm even more delighted that I can be of service. So I love you all. Have a beautiful Tuesday, everybody, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie H. Penny LC, you're next, and then John K. will come in after you.
Thank you, Melanie, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And when I read this paragraph, I ask myself about if I am able to identify in, and asking myself, could I leave flour and sugar alone for a year when I was in my disease? And I don't think I could answer that with an affirmative, with any conviction. It was always stopping and starting with the next diet. And but then if I also ask myself, do I have the power, you know, as my disease progressed, do I have the power of choice and control? That's when reality started to hit, truth. Came up against what I was trying to live in denial of. And I had no power. I had no choice, and I had no control. And that just goes to, reminds me to go back to the doctor's opinion on page XXVIII. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold the alcoholic people must have depth and weight. In early cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And so it just reminds me, I was trying to do it on my own power, and that will never be my solution until I'm ready to seek a higher power and surrender my will and my life, and be willing to follow that higher power's will for me. I will always be in bondage until then. And so at this point in my recovery, I'm grateful to understand that and to see that and to be willing to surrender on a daily basis and know that I can't, but my higher power can. And I'll let him today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny LC. John K., it's your turn, and then Paula's going to come in after you.
Good morning, Melanie. John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know, I love the first four words of this paragraph. As we look back, you know, to me, that was like the key to my struggling with the food. I was always excellent at looking backwards and seeing, oh, what went wrong. During my whole relapse, I'd be like, oh, okay, now I see what I did wrong. And then I would go do something else wrong and something else because, you know, at the end of the day, I was trying to do it myself and not reaching out for power greater than myself. You know, in this, with regards to the story, the funny story that happened to me in my first program, I came in through AA, and I remember when I was still dabbling as to whether I was coming in, I said to a guy, well, I don't know if I'm really an alcoholic, because I stopped for like a month last year, and then a couple months ago, I stopped for a few weeks, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, a person who isn't an alcoholic doesn't have to keep periodically stopping to prove to himself that he's not an alcoholic, and it really hit me between the eyes. For me, the food analogy here with this paragraph isn't the stopping for a considerable period because, you know, we can't stop. For me, day to day, I think it's about stopping specific foods for a considerable period, you know. For me, that was the thing that dogged me those years was those pesky yellow light foods, like they say, you know, and I always joke that during my struggles, 95% of my yellow light foods were actually red light foods that I was just really screwing around with, you know. And Kim G always says, you know, there's no such thing as a yellow light food. And of course, she's right. But figuring out what camp any specific food has to go into is hard, because the thing about the food version of this story is that some of these foods will give us the illusion of being ones we can handle. You know, I remember I would put down this one food that I wouldn't have. I said, oh, I'm going to have this for a month. And then I would go a month and so, see, okay, now I'll have it again. And then I had it after 3 weeks, and then I had it after 2 weeks, and then one, and, you know, until I'm back in it. And, you know, that's the trouble with half measures, you know. They often can seem to avail us a decent amount. And in the beginning they might, but then over time it falls apart. And then as we look back, we see it avails us nothing. And that's the part of this disease that makes it so cunning, baffling, and powerful, is that it stays as subtle as it needs to be so as I cannot perceive it, you know. It has to fly under the radar or else I'll be able to catch it. Well, maybe it isn't under the radar. Maybe it's like stealth technology, you know, utilizing that strange mental blanking device to fool me to get back into the food. And, you know, the only long-term key is, of course, at the end of the day, the spiritual solution outlined in the book, you know. And for me, that involved reaching out for help, asking somebody to be a sponsor, and then being willing to take direction for once in my life. I mean, I drove the car into the ditch. I should hand the keys over to somebody else for a while because I hadn't been able to do it. My way just didn't work. And, you know, that's the thing with this. This disease is just so cunning, baffling, and powerful, especially because unlike the alcohol, we cannot just simply stop for a considerable period. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John K. Polly B., you're next, and then Rachel will come in after you. Hi, Polly.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Polly B., a compulsive overeater, grateful to be alive with one more day of reprieve today in North Carolina. And I'm I have to laugh whenever I read the last sentence of this paragraph. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. And this reminds me of my experience when I tried the Pay and Way programs. I hadn't had a problem with compulsive overeating as far as I knew until I started gaining weight, which was after I had destroyed my spine and needed major surgery. That happened because of several decades of over-exercise. And so when I was physically incapacitated, the weight piled on, and obviously my body was no longer normal or thin as it had been. And this took a year to be evident and then got worse thereafter. My significant other mother started to badger me and say, you have to do something about this. So I started the Pay and Way on two consecutive Januaries in a row. And I was pretty good at first. I lost some weight. I got some points. I used the coupons to get the branded prepared food on sale, and I was really entranced by this loose leaf binder that had color coded sections and tabs. I was really a nerd at school, so this appealed to me, and you know, I thought I didn't have a problem. And then the two D's that preceded my entry, denial and delusion, just started building up bulk. And then finally, you know, I found myself going through the supermarket, buying my so-called diet foods, and then rewarding myself because I had done so well with the weight loss, getting a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it didn't take long before, you know, the leader of that group kind of would frown when I got on the scale. And actually, I was gaining weight in defiance. And I did this twice. So obviously, I had a problem. And very much like this generic description of some would be drunk the day, most of them within a few weeks. And that was me to a T. And if anything should have convinced me, that should have. It took another 8 years before I walked into the room, thankfully, desperate and grateful for recovery. Pass with that.
Thank you, Polly B. Rachel P., you're next, and then Nancy will come in after you, and then we'll take on some more folks to share. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning, fellas. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. This paragraph really struck me describing, you know, encouraging alcoholics to go a year without drinking, and it triggered, you know, this experience that I had. I quit drinking for a year. I resolved on my birthday a few years ago to go a year without drinking in an effort to lose weight because from the period of 18 years old to 28 years old, I had gained and lost and gained and lost, and I was down to close to my goal weight, and I thought, you know, drinking, that's the thing. That's the thing that's preventing me from losing those last few pounds. So I did. I quit drinking for a year, and it was no problem. But I couldn't string together more than a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, not binging throughout my entire life up to the time that I came into the rooms just over a year ago. And now I've been in for just over 13 months and have been abstinent, and that is a miracle. And you know, at first, I got on a food plan, I got abstinent, and it did feel like another diet, right? It was somebody giving me this plan, but the key was that I had to surrender. I had to be willing to submit myself to this process and not have any control over it, and I did. And I got on the food plan, and I got abstinent, and then the key was that I started working the 12 steps the way that the big book describes. And by doing that, I was able to really dig in deep and figure out what was keeping me binging, what was keeping me in my disease. And that's the key, is abstinence and then working the 12 steps and really having a clear understanding of what was keeping me sick, keeping me in my disease. And I'm just so grateful for the program and by the grace of God, abstinent for over 13 months now. And that is truly a miracle. And I'm so, so grateful to have all of you on this meeting. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rachel P. Before we invite Nancy L. to come up, I wanted to let folks know, if you're just coming in and joining us, we are in the big book on page 34 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, discussing and finding the directions for recovery in our own personal experience on paragraph 1, page 34. As we look back, ends within a few weeks. And we're going to take some more names after Nancy finishes her share. Hey, good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mel. Good morning, everyone. Nancy L. recovered in Arizona this morning. Very grateful to be recovered. It's a miracle, an absolute miracle. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Well, I would just have everybody know that I was thin for 14 whole months. 14 months, because Nancy worked her butt off, literally, and starved herself and exercised way too much, et cetera, et cetera. But the weight was staying off for 14 months, I thought. I had people saying to me, not in program, of course, well, you've kept it off this long. You're good to go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm good to go. But one shiny morning, I will never forget as long as I live, I pulled into the garage, having come from one of my panways, and I looked in at my blouse, and my buttons were popping. They were literally stretched so tight, and I thought, wow, my blouse is shrinking. But then I continued to look down on my lap and saw all kinds of candy wrappers that I had eaten on the way home, you know, all the candy I'd eaten. And I knew, I had no doubt, because I had spent about 5 decades in fighting the fat, that I was doomed. And I really and truly wanted to go ahead and just end it all this time for sure, because I wasn't about to sit around and see me gain 100 pounds back. And there's a part in the big book that I didn't know about then, but I know that now. Is like, what was happening to me that day was I could not imagine my day, or I could not imagine my life with the food, nor could I imagine living without the food. And I was, like the big book said, at the jumping off place. I was making some plans. It was going to be done. I was going to be finished. And so thank God my higher power whispered to me. I know it was him. And he said, just go up and get the yellow pages. Get the yellow pages in your phone book and look up OA. I had heard of OA way back in my 20s. So I went to the yellow pages, and thank God I did, because God has restored my life. He's restored my sanity with the food. The candy wrappers are gone for today. And with that, it will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy. And now we're going to open up the lines for folks to share on that paragraph. If you want to, press star 1 and give me the first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Bruce E.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Robin H.
Robin H.
Lance L.
Lance L. Kind of nice to take a moment to breathe here for a second. So we're going to go with Bruce E., Robin H., and Lance L. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Bruce E., recovered in Florida. And, yeah, I think, you know, looking back, it's always fun to look back, isn't it? It's fun to look back as long as we're doing better right now. Don't like looking back a whole lot if I'm not doing looking better now, but I'm doing better now because I'm recovered. So, but looking back, it says here, going on drinking many years beyond the point where he could quit on his own willpower. Yeah, I think at the very beginning, and I remember having periods of time when I was first in the program, not the 10 years before I got in the program, but when I first got in the program, and this is before Vision. I had some pretty sober, some pretty abstinent times there. In fact, after being in the program 10 years, this is in 1990, year 2000, rather, I had about a year or so of abstinence. And I was doing so good that I thought that I didn't think I was cured. I just thought I wasn't powerless over food anymore. And I had to get out of the program. So I got out of the program, and I guess I had to get out of the program in order to prove myself that I was still powerless over food, because I came crawling back in a year or two later, realizing that I couldn't do it on my own willpower. There's no way. And before I got into Vision, talks in here about let them try it for a year or something like that. Let them try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. Well, forget a year. I mean, before I get into Vision, I couldn't put 2 weeks together, and I knew it. And if somebody had said, hey, why don't you try putting the food down for a year, I would have known right then I can't even get 2 weeks. You know, so I needed to get into this program, into Vision here, get a sponsor, work through the steps like my hair was on fire, and have the obsession and the compulsion lift. And that's what happened. And very, very grateful for that. I'm grateful for this call, grateful for this big book. I'm grateful for today. I can go out and I can eat abstinent meals today and not have this thing, this craving, just creeping all over me and just making my skin crawl, you know. So I'm doing a lot better now. So thanks, everybody, on the call, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Robin H., you're next, and then Lance will come in after you.
Hi, good morning, everybody, and thank you so much, all of you, for your service and for your shares. This is my second Vision for You meeting, and I have one day of abstinence. And I'm so grateful my higher power led me to the meeting yesterday at 10 a.m. And this paragraph really, it really resonates with me. I feel like I could speak on every sentence, but I won't. I just read, hearing this read and hearing all the shares, I'm sitting here with just so much hope. This was so refreshing. You know, I've struggled with my disease, with anorexia and compulsive eating since, you know, I don't know, since I was an infant. And always felt like, you know, I can't do a 12-step program because I can't go a day of being abstinent. I can't go a day without thinking about food, without eating compulsively. Like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And realizing now, like, how much that was my voice of that perfectionistic voice. And sitting here now, it just hit me. I'm like, oh, so that, my ego, that was all my ego talking, telling me that I needed to be perfect in order to be in the program. This program isn't for me because I can't do it. Well, that's the point. And I could never figure out to what I would surrender. I didn't understand. And I also never understood the serenity prayer. And I think I do now, that accepting the things that I cannot change, what I can't change is reality. What I can't change is the fact that I have a disease, that I really am struggling. That if I think I could do it all by myself, that's all my will, that's all will, and that's the ego. And I am so grateful, so grateful that my higher power led me about a week ago to start searching for meetings and to find the right one, and I know that I have. And I do not have to rely on my will, that if I can surrender to my higher power, I have hope, and I will continue, and I'm not going to give up, because I can't live like I used to live, because I wasn't living. I was empty, and I don't want to live like that anymore, or be like that anymore. I would like to live my life, and I want to share this with other people. So with that, I pass, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin H. Lance L., it's your turn.
Morning, everyone. This is Lance L. from California. I'm recovered today. And,
hey, Lance, if you're on speaker, can you move to a different line, please, for the recording?
Is there an echo?
Yeah. It's real tough to hear when you have to re-listen.
Is that better?
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, great. So I'm recovered, and, you know, I didn't have that one day, or sorry, that 1 year of abstinence. I didn't have sobriety of 1 year from a really young age. As soon as I felt what food did in my mind and in my body, I was in. I was in. There was no looking back. I knew that I had found something that I could rely on, that I could depend on, my crutch in life. And I'm wired differently. I'm wired differently from my sister, I'm wired differently from my parents, my friends. Everyone around me seemed like they could take these things and put them down. And with me, it just kept going and going and going and going and going. I have a five-day maximum. I can stay off of the foods that I love for 5 days. And I've proven that over and over and over for 30 years. And when I came into this program, and it was a miracle that I found this program, I was searching, and I know that because I was going through my house, my file cabinet, and my drawers in the kitchen and all of that. And with every drawer that I opened up, every cupboard that I opened up, there's a diet book sitting there. And I had gone through numerous, like probably 10, 20, 30, 40 different diets in my time. And, you know, they weren't necessarily the ones that I spent a lot of money on, because I did that too, but they were hack diets. You know, bloggers, you know, people who are into fitness, they would come up with their own things, and I was like, oh, I'm buying into that. That sounds like it's working for them. It's going to work for me. And what I didn't realize is that wasn't the problem. You know, the food wasn't the problem. I've been an emotional man my entire life, a child, you know, growing up through my teens and into adulthood. And when those things pile up on me, I get into thinking about the things that relieve that. And instantly I get into those foods. And those foods create something inside me which makes me an alcoholic. And so with that kind of problem in my life, there's no getting out of it. There's absolutely no getting out of it. There's no hope for me. So any kind of humanly formed thing, human power is not going to help me. And I tried it over and over for 30 years. You know, this chapter is outlining the mental state that we have that precedes the first bite, that precedes me getting into those addictive foods. And because I have that, there's no stopping. It's my own thinking. And it's a beautiful program if you just get in it and work it. See, I had to work through the steps within that five-day period, okay, because I knew at the end of that five-day period, I'd be back in those foods. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lance L. Hey, there's room for two more folks to share if you would like to before we close out the recording.
Patty D.
Hi, Patty D.
Elaine B.
Elaine B., let's take it. Okay, Patty D., you're up first.
Hi, this is Patty D., compulsive overeater from Matthews, North Carolina. And I really appreciated the shares today, listening to everyone. And I also was recovered, thought I was recovered for about 8.5 months. And I just want to say to any newcomers who might be on the line to not be discouraged by listening to our stories that we were recovered, then we relapsed. Because I think the important thing, at least for me, was that because I had spent so much of my life not realizing that I was a compulsive overeater, that I was an addict, that like in this paragraph, people thought, well, I can stay off of it for a certain amount of time, that I had spent so much of my life being thin, being able to go on diets and lose the extra weight, but not really addressing what the problem was. It was hard for me to really latch on to this surrender idea and really realize what the crux of the problem was. So I think the reason that I relapsed was that I stopped doing my steps wholeheartedly. And even though I'm so connected to my God, I just still was fighting that idea that I was an addict and that I was a compulsive overeater. And this disease is so insidious that it was telling me before my relapse, you know, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're okay. And I wasn't. And now that I'm, you know, have a sponsor again and I'm working from step one, there's a difference between compliance and surrender. Someone shared the other day that I've just written down and taped to my kitchen cabinet. And I was in compliance before because that was familiar. That's what I was used to. And so I just want to share that surrender is what it's all about and understanding the nature of this disease. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. And Elaine B., your share, please. You'll take us to the end of our recording today. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Melanie C., for you and your service and everybody here on the line. This is Elaine B. I'm recovered in Massachusetts. Thank you, God. And, you know, this was me. I love reading more about alcoholism because this is my story. And it's really easy to find sin that seem extreme or seem different and identify out. You know, oh, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. Because that's cunning, baffling, powerful disease's plan for me not to get this so that it can drag me back out to the parking lot and beat me up some more, which has happened to me a few times. I remember at one point going back to OA meetings and listening. I had tried for a while and identified out with some people were too big, some people were too small, and I'm like, that's not me. And so I left the rooms, and then I came back another time years later, and I it was like they were speaking German or Russian or something. All I heard was blah, 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 no sugar, blah, 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 no sugar, blah, 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 no sugar. So that was the message I got, no sugar, and I was able to do that for 2 whole months. Oh, my goodness, look at me, pat me on the back. I got this thing, thumbs up, I'm out of the rooms, and I'm back in the sugar. And that, you know, led to, of course, more weight, more insanity. And that's the main thing. They call this plain insanity because, you know, when I came back in the rooms, what I saw, the first thing I saw is like my eyes were open. People are talking about doing the 12 steps, and they're different than me. To have this sort of sanity and serenity and this sense of a grasp of life that I don't have, it's different. It's different. So I knew it was about more than putting down sugar. Here I learned about identifying all my alcoholic foods and putting them down. And I determined the safety fences and safety nets I needed around my food. I needed to hire a professional to get a food plan because my sponsor said, I'm a compulsive overeater. I can't tell you what to eat. Hire a professional. That was wise advice for me. But she said she understood OA, but I understood me. And there were things on that list that she said I could eat, but I know that I can't eat. They are red light foods for me. They would send me right back out. And so once I did that, got the food in order, I was able to pick up these steps and start working them with all the diligence that I used to have to go after food. Because really I was an eating comfort addict. And what I needed was a way to become unblocked from God so I could seek and find my ease and comfort from God. Because it really wasn't about the food. It was about me needing a sense of ease and comfort and an okayness in this world and a design for living that really, really works. And I found it in these steps, and you can too. So please keep coming. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Elaine. And that does conclude the sharing part of our meeting today. Thank you to everyone that shared this morning, especially those that were in service to make sure that this meeting happened for all of us that are here to seek the solution and continue in fellowship today. So let's go about the business of closing out the recorded portion, but still stay close because we're going to finish up with new cover greeting, getting some sponsor contact, and some announcements. So we'll close with the reading in the big book on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and we'll follow that up by the Serenity Prayer. John Kay, would you please read page 164?
I will be glad to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit,
and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.